You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hey, this is Ruben with the City of Stars podcast. Here, I'm interviewing up-and-coming artists in the Las Vegas music scene. Let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome. Today, I am joined by...
Kai Manigault.
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You got any socials or anything people could follow you on as you continue to promote your art?
I have an Instagram, but I don't post anything on it. I just have the Instagram so I can look at other people's stuff.
Okay.
But no, I keep all my stuff on my computer, so.
Okay. Soon we'll.
Soon, though.
Yeah.
I have a Vimeo page where I post stuff, but.
Okay. Well, it is a.
I think it's what's it called? President 8. I think there's a number 8 after it. So President 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So people could check you out then. All righty. Well, how you been?
I've been good. Been a long semester, a very, very interesting one.
Well, let's talk about it. What's been going on with the semester?
Well, for one, I'm taking a lot of classes. I'm in 5 classes. And I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I'm the TA for UNLV's virtual production class, where we use this giant LED wall that was supplied by View to create these really stunning backgrounds, which we can shoot films on. And I was I was TAing the class with my mentor and my professor, Francisco Menendez. And sadly, last month, he died of a heart attack.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so that was a rough loss for the entire film department and me, because I was very close with him.
Sorry to hear that.
So, but what was particularly odd was, of course, he's teaching the class and I'm his TA, and now he's not here. So
yeah. So what happened with the class?
Well, a few days after he died, I spoke to someone in the faculty and said, you know, I'll take over the class if need be. Mm-hmm. And while they did entertain that idea, since I'm the TA, they said we can't really have you do that because you're an undergrad and we can't have like an undergrad teaching an undergrad class. And, you know, we can't, you know, pay you and we can't put you on as a full professor. So what they did was they got a grad student who was the TA for last semester, and he stepped in as the teacher for this semester, and I'm TAing the class with him now.
Okay. So
it did get figured out.
Yeah.
But of course it was a very odd time as the professor died, and for a moment this class had no professor, and it was just me trying to, you know, keep the project we had in the works going.
Wow. Well, you know, sounded, you know, when you talking about him right now, he sounded really very important.
He was the founding artistic director of the film program.
Wow.
I mean, he was involved with he basically made the film. Well, I'm not going to say just him alone, but he was in the film program for, 34 years? And with him, the program expanded to what it is now.
Wow.
So losing him so suddenly from a heart attack was a devastating loss. I saw him on the last night he was alive. He was giving a talk on the Johnny Brendon Filmmaker Award, which was a grant for filmmakers, you know, who I'm not really sure what it was about. I left through the seminar because I said, oh, this doesn't really apply to me. And I looked back, and for a minute I thought of staying, but I said, I'll see him on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I left, and the next day I got the email that he was gone.
Oh, sorry to hear that again.
That's okay.
For you, you know, as a mentor, how did he help you with the art? You know, what did you learn from him?
He was the one who really enhanced my character. Before I got involved with him, I wasn't really willing to put myself out there as much as I am now. So I thought, all these film students are so great, and I don't really know how my skills compare to theirs. But working with him watching him direct and taking his advice, gained a lot more skills, made a lot more connections under him. He introduced me to people, even an actor who got me my first PA gig. And of all the professors, he was the one that just believed in me the most. He was my biggest fan. He said, "Oh, you need a production designer? Oh, there's Kai. Call him." And so, yeah, there was no other professor I was as close with as him. So,
and how long have you known him?
I knew him for about a year and a half.
Wow. So, you know, it sounds like he did so much for you in such a short amount of time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that was very cool of him, you know, very meaningful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to go the extra mile to help you out, you know? So, you know, how would you describe his art, you know, when you sit back and watched him? What were you kind of getting from his stuff?
He was a director. His focus was in directing.
Okay.
And also writing.
Okay.
I can't really comment on his directing because I'm not a director. And he'd really been the only person I'd seen direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I know his directing was a bit controversial to some of the other film students. Some people liked his manner of directing. Some people didn't. But what I really enjoyed was his writing classes.
Mm.
I mean, we have screenwriting classes at UNLV, but to me, if you really want to become a good writer, you, well, should have taken a story development class. That one was the one that really made us open up and understand not just formatting screenplays and things like that, but what really makes them good, what makes them personal, what makes them connect with the audience. So in that respect, his class enhanced my writing a lot.
And how that help you with what you focus on, you know, I mean, with like backgrounds and stuff?
Well, that just helped me with my writing. I don't just do production design. I also write scripts as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so that it made those better.
Yeah.
And as far as production design, like I said before, he was the one that kept pushing me to be better. And with him, I PD'd on my most successful project, which was this scene from this movie we shot using the LED wall. So that was my fondest memory of him.
Mm. What was it about that?
For me, it was our most successful project. It was the one that just looked the best. I mean, I was really amazed at how well it came out. And I had to improvise at the end because I wasn't sure if we were going to be shooting the ground or not. And I don't know if anyone's been in FDH, but the ground in the FDH studio is very, very ugly. And this scene was taking place in this street. And at first I was going to spray paint some flattened cardboard boxes gray and make it look like a sidewalk. And it came out terribly. It just came out absolutely terribly. And it was the day of the shoot. I said, "Oh my God, I don't know what to put on the ground." And I improvised at the last second because FDH has all this wood. I said, let's put all this wood down. And with the lighting, we can make it look like they're on this, not on the concrete, but on this sort of wooden platform that's by the lake they were sitting at. And it came out surprisingly well. He came out, he loved it. He said, "Great job." And that was that.
Wow. So, yeah. You know, you've been doing really good with your production designing, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, you know, beautiful how even, you know, you could look back, have good memories with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it sounds like he kind of made like an impact on your journey, kind of.
He did. He took me to Sundance. You ever heard of the Sundance Film Festival?
I love Sundance. Tell me about it.
I didn't want to go. There's this trip that UNLV puts on to go to Sundance. And at first, I didn't want to go, but he made me go. He said, "No, I want you to apply to go to Sundance." And it was maybe an hour before. I said, "Okay, yeah, I'm going to apply. I didn't really mean it. And it was an hour before the application closed. I said, "Okay, I'll apply just for him. Just for him, I'll apply." And I did. And amazingly, they accepted me. So I went with him and our group to Utah and enjoyed the festival.
Yeah. Any good movies you saw down there?
He dragged me to a few of them.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he dragged me to this documentary. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to see a documentary. But he made me go with him. So we did. We drove from Park City to Salt Lake City. And the documentary was, I'll admit, I slept through the first quarter of it.
Mm-hmm.
But once I woke up, the documentary got really good. It was about, I forgot what it was about. I can't even really talk about it. But, well, I don't forget what it was about. I'm forgetting the name of the person it was about.
Mm.
But he was this music recordist. And the way the documentary was set up was it used an algorithm to compile the different clips together.
Okay.
And it was set up in such a way that every time you watch the film, it would be different because the algorithm would use different clips and compile them in different ways. So they had a discussion with the filmmakers afterwards, and they said there's 52 quintillion versions of this documentary.
Oh.
It's, you would never watch the documentary the same way twice.
Wow. That's
amazing. that was really, we were both just blown away at that. So that was an experience I'm glad I got to have. And wow. It's because of him, because he pushed me to do these things I initially didn't want to do.
And, you know, what else did you learn from him as, like, you know, with art or movies or...
We had a lot of discussions on movies and such. We had a debate on what it meant to be original.
Mm.
I always believed that being original was being just putting out something that was completely different from everyone else. And that's what I always strive to do. And he told me, no, stop doing that. That's bad. It's like, what do you mean? Well, I'm just supposed to copy everyone else? He goes, no. Your definition of originality is wrong. Originality lies in specificity. It's not... How the argument started, the argument started because I was complaining that there were no original IPs anymore. I said, we're just seeing the same story over and over and over. He said, yes, we're seeing the same story over and over. All the stories are essentially different variations of each other. I mean, all movies like The Northman and Aquaman, that story, that's from Hamlet. That's from Shakespeare.
Yeah.
King Lear, you know, the guy kills his brother so he could be king, and this whole thing happens. That's been told over and over and over throughout hundreds of years. So I said, is there anything really such as originality? He says, originality is in specificity. Yes, maybe the idea of somebody killing their brother has been around for thousands of years, but the brother of a king killing him while they're superheroes underwater in a underwater kingdom with, you know, shark people and this and that, that's something that's very specific, and that is where originality lies. Or the thing with the Northmen, that's the same story as King Lear, but this time it's about Vikings, and specifically they go to this slave colony and he's trying to find the guy who killed his father, and that story's been told before. But the way that they're doing it in such a specific way, that's where you get originality from.
Mm.
I know that was quite confusing.
No, but I follow. It's like...
Even he was difficult to follow sometimes,
yeah.
But I get what he's saying. I do get it, and that left an impact on me.
Yeah, like, you know, he was talking about putting a twist on, like, told stories, you know what I mean? And, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No, I followed you. So, you know, now, how's your projects been?
My projects have been going well. I'm still working in Blender a lot. I'm involved in a design competition for the Sphere.
Wow! Congratulations, dude.
Yeah, they've chosen some students to come up with some designs for the Sphere, if your design wins, then they'll put it on the Sphere for 4th of July. And you win a scholarship too. So
yeah,
I'm entering that
You excited?
I am excited.
You got any ideas?
I was working on it before I came here.
Dude, that's awesome.
Then you texted me and said, oh, I'll see you soon. It's like, oh, dang it. I got to put this on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to put this on.
Well, I'm glad I texted you.
So I can go see you because I completely forgot.
That's okay. No, we all forget. That's why I got so many notes on my phone. I'm like, oh, yeah, I have an interview with him today.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
No, I got you. I got you. I know you're busy. Wow, that sounds exciting. So, you know, as much as you want to tell me how you're going to approach this contest.
I'm still brainstorming.
Yeah, okay, you're in a brainstorming phase.
I'm still coming up with ideas, drafting, drawing, trying out things in Blender. And I'm going to come up with some designs and just put forward the one I like.
Yeah. So when's the deadline for it?
I think the beginning of May.
Okay, so you got some time still.
I got some time.
3 weeks, yeah.
Got some time. I have all of April to do it.
Okay, so you're good, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow,
we'll get it done
for you. Really cool, actually. Wow, on the big sphere.
The big sphere.
Wow,
the one on the strip, the big one.
And how much is one? How much is the scholarship?
$10,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be pretty nice here.
I hope I win.
Yeah.
I gotta get at it though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So what else have you been working on? Anything else? Any other contests or project movies?
There's TAing for the virtual production class taught by my mentor. We're using the wall again and putting on another virtual production.
Yeah.
But besides that, in the sphere competition, it's mostly just been my own little projects.
Yeah. You know, how has it been TAing the class? You know, it's probably different now without.
It was a situation I'd certainly never been in before.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire film department kind of just stopped for about 2 weeks. All the classes with him, of course, had to be put on hold, and he was so involved in everything. We kind of just came to a stop for at least a week, and we're still feeling it now. But
I bet
after spring break we all just reconvened and said, listen, he would want us to just keep going. You know, he died doing what he loved, which was teaching.
Oh.
And I want to go out the same way.
Yeah.
Just constantly doing what I've dedicated my life to, which is film. And I said, I hope you all share the same sentiment. And they did. So we're moving on.
That's good. But, you know, it's nice, though, that his legacy won't be forgotten, but it's very, I think it's amazing still seeing it in work. You know what I mean? He wasn't just some guy that died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a very meaningful person to the film department. And not only did his death stop, but at the same time, it pushed you guys, motivated you to really, because, you know, that's sometimes you make some of the most beautiful art when it's the hardest, you know? And it, you know, and like, there's, It makes sense if, you know, you stop. Well, I think it's very beautiful, the memory of him.
Mm.
And for you personally, you're like, I want to be like that. You know, I want a legacy like that. And I think that's very wonderful. And that's why I just want, you know, hear more about him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because he just sounds like a really cool person.
He was. He was very cool.
Yeah. And now, you know, with this classes continue, do you know how his other ones are doing?
They've just filled them in with other professors.
So everyone's kind of like working a little harder now.
Some professors have had to step in. The only other additional person I know they've brought in is this grad student to teach the virtual production class, but besides that, I'm trying to think of his other classes. Other professors have just stepped in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned earlier that you've been working on like smaller projects.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things are you working on?
Animation, 3D animations, modeling.
Yeah.
Just doing what I like.
Yeah. I love 3D animation. I'm a little confused. Maybe you could clarify it.
Mm-hmm.
Is Spider-Man Verse, new one, the third one, that's coming out next year?
Oh, right? Beyond the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, I'm a little confused because people are saying, oh, it's coming out this summer. And then they like, oh, no, it's coming out 2025.
I don't know. I hear it got pushed back, but I don't know how far.
Okay. I know you would like, you're on top of those things. I'm like, I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
If anyone knows, it's him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, now production designing, you know, last time we talked, a couple months ago, I would love to know how have you grown over this, the past time? You know, what have you learned from production designing? Have you gotten better, gotten worse, or?
It's difficult to gauge how I've grown.
Okay.
As a PD, it's not like taking classes where, okay, my grades are getting better, so I'm a better production designer.
Yeah.
I'd say you grow as a production designer by taking on more diverse projects. Like I was on this film for a horror short.
Oh.
And that was something I'd never done before, and I did that. And that helped me grow more because it taught me the elements of trying to portray character, but also mood, putting in things that are offsetting, upsetting to the audience, that create an air of suspense. So doing projects you're not used to is how you grow. And, you know, maybe doing a comedy, you'll do things that'll convey that this is a comedy. And doing more of an action flick, maybe you'll use a different color palette and really study on what the action flicks you've seen are doing to let you know this is an action flick. Things of that sort.
All right. How would you, you know, encourage artists to get out of the comfort circle? Because, you know, a lot of times, I know I'm guilty of it. You get very comfortable. You're like, I'm really good with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to try something different. I'm afraid of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
With you, you know, you mentioned you did a horror thing, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about it, but you learned a lot. And, you know, how would they get the courage to do something they're not comfortable with?
Network. Okay. Network yourself as a PD.
Okay.
And when someone asks, do you want to be on my film? Don't say no. I did that film simply because someone asked me. I didn't even know what the film was about. They just asked me, can you do PD on this script? I said, sure. And it turned out to be a horror script. So I said, well, I guess I'm doing horror PD now.
And you never done horror PD before?
No.
Wow, so this is your first time doing it.
Yeah, and I didn't want to say no. And that's how you do it.
So, and I think another thing I want to ask you, because you've actually released projects and you've had your art out there before, but people, aspiring artists, they're struggling to put work out there. They're mm-hmm. like, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to keep on to it. But you're the opposite. You're like, I did this. It's as the best as I can do, and I'm putting it out there. How did you personally like change your mindset? I don't know if you were like a conservative artist, like mm-hmm. I'm just gonna hold on to it and never share this with anyone, or have you always been like, I'm just pumping out art, everyone check this out, bum bum bum. You know what I mean? I'm very curious with your mentality.
I don't really pump out art like that.
No, okay.
I understand their mentality of not wanting to submit it, because I'm very much the same way. I was like, oh, this isn't good enough. I'd look at the film after we did it. I could have changed that. Yeah. The way I do it simply is just we're on deadlines and you have to get it done by a deadline. So they submit it for you, whether you want them to or not.
So maybe give yourself some deadlines.
Give yourself a deadline.
Okay.
That would be a big motivator to push your work out there.
Okay.
Enter competitions, get involved with projects, because they'll force you to submit it and they'll force your work to be shown. And maybe you don't like it, but other people might like it and they want you to work with them.
You got any tips on networking?
Be everywhere.
Okay.
If there's an event happening, be there.
Alrighty.
Talk to people.
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Just be there. That's the whole reason I got a car, just so I could be more mobile and go to these places and talk to more people. Because, you know, being on the bus, you know, you can't really get to places on time, and sometimes something's happening, but it's too short notice, so you can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what motivated me to get mobile.
How you like it?
I love driving. It. Love driving. It's much better than the bus.
Yeah.
The car's expensive, but...
It's expensive, but it's definitely more convenient.
Yes.
And reliable. And it's nice, you know what I mean? You're taking a very serious step into your art. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm so serious about this. I'm getting a car, even though there are things you got to pay for. Gas, insurance, a car payment if you do that.
Yes.
So, yes, yes. You know how it is. So it's a lot, but I think it shows your commitment, your passion.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, bus is pretty cheap. You know what I mean? And it's... Yeah. You know.
Before UNLV would get it for free.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. It was literally free.
Yeah.
But then, you know what I mean? But it was limiting your networking. Yeah.
You pay in time.
Pay in time. Yeah.
You pay in time. Better. That's 2 hours a day.
Yep. Yeah. That's a lot of time.
Up 2 to 4, depending on if the buses are even on time or even running.
So, you know, I want to very, thinking about during this interview, and for you overall, you know, the professor that passed away, you're your mentor, you know what I mean? You know, I don't want to like that, you know, down you down or anything. Mm-hmm. So apologize. So
it's fine.
Okay. If I'm
it's
like,
fine. I am not down.
Okay.
I am not. I'm more than willing to talk about it.
Okay. Well then, you know, cause it's just very important. I don't want to like, oh yeah, you're a mentor. Let's brush that off. Yeah, you know, I can't really think about a lot more important things to talk about with you. You know what I mean? And I want to. Overall, you know, how was he as a person?
Very cool.
He sounded
anything.
Cool.
Anything you needed, he had for you.
Yeah.
There's a story I told at his celebration of life.
Mm.
We were planning on putting on this virtual production for the class. And are you familiar with Unreal 5? Unreal. It's a game engine.
It sounds very familiar.
Yeah. So for the wall, we use this game engine. And we need the wall to be this island with a cliff that the actors can stand in front of. And it looks like they're off a cliff. And the scene involves these two cars that are in the background. So we had the island set up and we had the sky and this and that. We just needed the cars. To get the cars, we had to buy them off the Unreal store.
Mm.
So we go to the Unreal store and we see two car packs. One is $20 and one is $90 or $100. There's these vintage cars. And I want to go with the $20 car pack and he wants to go with the $100 one. I go, why do you want to go with the one that's so damn expensive?
Yeah.
And he said, because it's higher resolution. It has maybe like 2 pixels of additional resolution. I go, sir, there is no difference between these two. Let's get the cheap one and be done with this. And we argue about this for maybe 20 minutes, going back and forth between the cheap one and the more expensive one. So finally he concedes and says, okay, fine. We'll get you the cheap one. He was paying for it, but I didn't want him to spend all this money.
Mm.
So he goes, okay, I'll buy the cheap one. I go, finally, great. He buys the cheap one. We import it into Unreal. I go to the bathroom because we've been arguing for all this time. I had to go to the bathroom. I come back. There's all these cars on the freaking LED wall. I go, where'd all these cars come from? We just bought the one pack. He said, oh, I bought you both. I go, what? I go, why? He said, because I want you to have everything that you need. Because this is your production design. And that was the moment that was one of our closest moments. And he always did that. Anything that you needed, he was there for you. Like I said, he just pushed me to be better. Trying to impress him was what made me better.
And now I think... He's, you know, he'll be very impressed with you, you know what I mean?
I hope so. I hope so.
Thanks for listening. Catch us again every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on The Rebel, 91.5 HD2.